You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
October the 27th, 2022. Glad to have you join us. If you're watching or want to watch us in studio, go to rumble.com. Enter in the search engine, one word, Larry Connors, USA. Then open up our Rumble page. You'll see previous postings. You see where to push live. You do that, you join us in studio. Glad to have you. I'll try to have some coffee, or maybe you'd like a little stronger beverage next time, okay? And remember, you can always watch them later. Same thing with carrying our podcast at LarryConnorsUSA.com. Easy to find me. Everything. Larry Connors, USA. So let's take a look at something here. You're still struggling, no doubt, with the inflation, the economy. Maybe you're better off than others. Good. Others aren't. And those who were good 2 weeks ago are a little worse off today. Maybe that's you. Or maybe you were already bad 4 weeks ago, and you're even worse now. This report should absolutely tick you off. This is from the Immigration Reform Law Institute doing an investigation. While you're dealing with record high inflation, rising costs for gasoline, public utilities, everything else, sanctuary states, you know those sanctuary states that tell the illegals, come on in, we'll take care of you. Oh, but my God, don't bust them from Texas into New York City or outside VP Harris's house in D.C. or into Martha's Vineyard. My God, that's a humanitarian crisis you're creating. Here's what the Immigration Reform Law Institute found. Sanctuary states like New York, Colorado have used Chinese coronavirus pandemic money to open unemployment benefits for illegal aliens. Money paid by you. We have Americans suffering, and we're now using, in those two states apparently, between New York, Colorado, Washington, D.C., putting out $2.7 million in unemployment benefits to illegal aliens. The director of that institute said this is an insult. An insult to all those in the U.S. legally and abiding by our laws. I second that motion. And I bet you too. You're out in the car, hit your horn. Everybody like, why is that? Well, because you also agree. That's an insult. President Joe Biden, by the way, he's got these words for you. I'm optimistic. It's going to take some time. And I appreciate the frustration of the American people. No, you don't. That's the point. You don't. He said, I appreciate the frustration of the American people. One of the things I think frustrates the American people is they know the world is in a bit of a disarray. They know Putin's war, yeah, here we go again, has imposed a lot of strains on Europe and the rest of the world in the U.S. and the disruption of oil and gas markets. No, Joe Biden, you started that at the beginning. He said they all want to know what we're doing. We're doing. We're going to take care of it. It's going to take some time. How about stopping all the money going to illegals out of the coronavirus funds? Huh? Never mind. Crickets. Analysts at the University of Virginia Center for Politics releasing a report saying that here we are less than 2 weeks before the midterms, and they claim Republicans will clearly gain the majority in the House. They say we now rate 218 House seats. That'd be the magic number for winning a majority. And they point out that in this analysis, the number of races still remain close and competitive, but the danger for Democrats is all these races are breaking for Republicans. Good. And in fact, a U.S. elections project found that so far 14 million have voted early in the 2022 general election. And from Arizona, you want to know this. Republican Kerry Lake holding a 4-point lead over the Democrat Secretary of State Katie Hobbs to be the governor of that state. And U.S. Senate nominee Herschel Walker, Republican, fighting off some of the latest claims that he paid for a woman's abortion. He says it's the same old, People know me. Stick with me, believe me. But the woman's attorney, feminist attorney Gloria Allred, says, I got all kinds of documentation. Is that going to change anyone's vote in Georgia? Could be. And then at the same time, while we're locking down our oil and gas and we say we want to go green, China isn't helping out. You know what they're doing? They know it's going to be a cold winter, and China is actively ramping up coal mining so they can keep the heat on for the Chinese. In the meantime, in Europe and in Germany, they're saying we're going to have to reduce consumption by 30% and even more. Not good for the winter.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Your eyes are burning, you're sneezing, it's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
And they say you don't tug on Superman's cape, you don't spit into the wind, you don't pull a mask off an old Lone Ranger, and you don't mess around with Jim. I don't do that.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Most people have thought that Mr. Fetterman's injury was how he processed sound, which is why they gave him the prompter. But what was really apparent last night was that he has expressive aphasia. It's a really common injury in people who've had a stroke. It's estimated about 30% of people who survive a stroke will have some difficulty with speech. But the particular problem that Mr. Fetterman has is expressive aphasia from an injury to a part of the brain, in most people on the left side, towards the front of the brain in the temporal lobe, probably called Broca's area. Mm-hmm. And people with expressive aphasia have difficulty putting together complex sentences. They have difficulty processing spoken word in complex sentences.
That is a doctor for CNN, an analyst for CNN. He's got great credentials. He's a cardiologist. And he was talking about the condition that John Fetterman was facing the other day in the debate, and he's living with right now ever since his stroke. It was clear the other day, anyone watching it, that Fetterman was struggling. And you could feel sorry for him, but you got to remember, he's trying to become a vote in the Senate for the Democrats, and he's not capable at this point of expressing and even fully understanding. The doctor is saying it's not just auditory processing, as they were talking about yesterday, and that was something like they have a hard time hearing small differences in some words, such as they will ask you to please raise your hand, and he might hear, please haze your plan. Just getting things backwards and so forth. Then you should not take any relish and joy that anyone is suffering this. So you can have pity, you can feel sorry, whatever, but the guy's trying to become a U.S. senator. And we've got a guy in the White House right now that I don't think can effectively do that job, and now you want a U.S. senator in this, quote, condition? So here's this CNN medical analyst, a cardiologist, professor of medicine and surgery at George Washington University School of Medicine, Dr. Jonathan Reiner. And he was talking about how difficult it is for what Fetterman's going through and his reasoning and belief as to why it is. It's not just that he's not hearing it right. He's also not able to express it properly. If I understand the doctor, he starts talking about different lobes of the brain, and I got to think, do I have one? I'm the scarecrow. Do I even have one? But the bottom line is he's trying to make it clear that the man has some real difficulties here. And here's a perfect example. When a question was raised by one of the moderators to Fetterman during the debate.
I do want to clarify something. You're saying tonight that you support fracking, that you've always supported fracking, but there is that 2018 interview that you said, quote, I don't support fracking at all. So how do you square the two?
I do support fracking, and I support fracking, and I stand, and I do support fracking.
It's not only confusing, it's awkward, and you, as I mentioned yesterday, if you've been around someone who stutters, they have a hard time getting the word out, you kind of want to help them. Well, you can't help the guy here in this case. And on top of that, it seems to be 180 degrees from what they said he'd said previously. Does he even understand that part of it? I don't know, but he wants to make it clear to the audience, I do support fracking because Pennsylvania is good oil and gas country, and there's a lot of votes there. So he at least is smart enough to know that, or someone had told him, you now support fracking. Got it? You support it. And he was basically repeating what they were telling him. The issue, the doctor says, is not just what he was doing on the stage, but the recovery because of what Fetterman is suffering.
He's obviously had a pretty significant neurologic injury.
Do you think that, like, in a year from now, this will all be in the rearview mirror if he does the work he needs to do?
You know, it's hard to know. And part of the problem is that, you know, the campaign was opaque at the very beginning. They didn't really disclose the degree of his illness. We don't really know how sick he was. In fact, his treating physicians were never made available to the press or the public. So we don't really know how much Mr. Fetterman has actually recovered.
So again, this doctor for CNN, their medical analyst, Dr. Reiner, can't give you specifics because he has not seen the patient's records. And of course, then he would be bound by HIPAA laws. They couldn't say anything unless the Fetterman agreed. And in fact, when Fetterman was asked at one point, will you release your medical records? He said, no. That he clearly understood and gave a very clear answer, no. So the doctor's saying the campaign itself has not been very transparent, I should say, in trying to make sure that everybody understood what the man's going through. And then he reaches a point that I think in his analysis that he says something. I want you to be listening very carefully for what you're going to hear in a moment. Because what it does, I could almost hear the claps in the background at CNN headquarters, you know, because they would say, oh, boy, that was good. That was really good, because he just said that the campaign itself was opaque. They were withholding some information and so forth, and they knew the guy was not capable of going on that stage and resembling anything that would represent a possible U.S. senator. But aside from that, they still put him out there, which you have to question the campaign for that, his family members, anyone who cares about the guy. But it's win at all cost for the Democrats for this seat in Pennsylvania. And they've been leading by a good margin until just recently. And that debate the other night, even though at least half of all those mail-in ballots have already been sent back, there are many still to come, and the debate itself might have solidified some votes maybe against Fetterman. Or then again, if they buy into what the doctor is going to say here in just a moment, they may say, you know, because of that Dr. Oz, I'm going to go the other way. Here is what the doctor said.
I take care of people like Mr. Fetterman who have had atrial fibrillation, which is where we think his stroke came from, how it originated. And I admire his courage to go on that debate last night. He had to know that he was facing basically a fast-talking TV doctor who at times seemed to be talking almost intentionally faster in the face of Mr. Fetterman's difficulty speaking. Almost, sometimes it appeared almost cruelly faster.
You see what he just did? Dr. Reiner, to the enlightenment of CNN and its audience, was saying, you know, it didn't help that you got a fast-talking doctor on the other side, and maybe he was talking faster cruelly because he knew it would be hard for Fetterman to follow things. Everything that they could had been scripted on a teleprompter in front of Fetterman, and he had two opportunities to go in and go through training and rehearsing with what were already set down questions or some responses. I don't know what all they had on there. But he only went to one. Maybe he decided that's good enough. But when Dr. Reiner says you got a fast-talking medical doctor and maybe cruelly rushing fast, in other words, suggesting he was trying to embarrass Fetterman, trying to show him up, trying to make it difficult where he could not understand things. Well, that's an entirely different take that I had in looking at the debate. I got the impression that Oz was almost having to hold back a little bit because he didn't want to appear to be beating up on a man that's suffering a severe ailment. But it's in the eye of the beholder to some extent. I will agree with that. But as much as maybe the CNN crowd was laughing and slapping each other on the back and hoisting a toast or two, say, boy, did he nail Oz on that show. What a crummy piece of scourge he is that he would attack a man who's only half of a brain at this point because he's battling a stroke and he purposely talked fast, even cruelly, according to Dr. Reiner. Cruelly talking fast to throw off Fetterman. Well, while they were celebrating that, there was another issue the Dr. CNN medical analyst brought up. And this one just blew up in the face of all those who were celebrating his remarks about Dr. Oz.
He might have had a massive event, and if, you know, people who had seen him originally might now say, oh my God, he looks remarkably better, and I bet he does. But not knowing how far he's come, it's very difficult to know how far he can go. And it would be good for the people who care for him to be made available to the press. There is no sin in having a stroke. There's a lot of honor in the dogged determination that it takes to recover, and I admire that. What I don't admire is the way sort of the campaign has handled the disclosure of his illness.
You think they should have been more upfront and transparent about it?
Absolutely.
Ah, see? See, he said the campaign itself is to blame for what played out on the stage the other night. After that debate, online polling and a couple other sources were indicating that based on the debate, 80-plus percent were going to vote for Dr. Oz. So apparently he did not absolutely slap Fetterman around. He was decent enough, but yet still made some points. And it became clear that Fetterman was not capable. But that wasn't the way the White House saw it. Surprise, surprise. The White House spokeswoman, of course, was asked the next day, what does the president think of John Fetterman's debate tactics last night?
I'll say this, in personal conversations that the president has had with the lieutenant governor, the president has found him to be impressive, an incredibly bright and talented person who's just as capable as always to carry out his office, the duties of his office. As we know, he is lieutenant governor currently, and has great ability and heartfelt concern for the people of the Commonwealth. And that is what the president has observed himself. That is, as is the case before and is the case today.
That was the key point. I can understand where Biden had one view of him before the stroke, but he said that was the case. She said that was the case before and the case today after watching him on the stage in that debate. There's no way you could have any confidence in the guy's ability to do the job. And prior to that, by the way, he had also been all about opening all jails and letting people out of jail and no charges for crimes and setting up legalized and safe places to shoot up heroin. This is what they want for a governor of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. But again, the White House spokeswoman said Biden looks at Fetterman's courage.
And he respects the courage and the honesty that he sees from the lieutenant governor that he's experienced in their conversation and their relationship over time. And we have, of course, as relates to your question about his health, seen the same comments from independent medical experts that you all have noted and that the improving symptoms he has have to do with the speech and hearing, not all with cognitive function. So, again, he thinks that he looks forward to working with the lieutenant governor in the future and sees him as an authentic individual who is fighting every day for the middle class and finds him incredibly impressive.
Incredibly impressive. The source being finding Fetterman incredibly impressive and competent. The source is Joe Biden. I'm just putting it out there for you and headlining it. That reference and that endorsement of how impressive he was and his ability coming from Joe, Biden. Thank you. And again, Biden has some issues as well, possibly beginning a dementia, Alzheimer's, and that's not meaning to laugh about that, but I'm laughing about the part that someone like that is evaluating Fetterman and saying all these good things about him. That just destroys the argument for me, period. Now, coming up, we want to focus on how the Democrats are saying, and I told you the other day, Hillary Clinton said Republicans are going to steal the 2024 presidential election. Democrats are fearful the steal's underway even now.
Watching Republicans not just destroying democracy in the dark, breaking into election officers and plugging stuff in, we're watching them do it from rally stages, debate stages.
We could lose our democracy, and it could happen in 17 days.
A majority of Americans believe that democracy is under threat.
Democracy on the ballot, it's not just a slogan.
A lot of Republicans in the last 3 weeks have suddenly found themselves deciding, hey, party over country.
I'm wondering whether this puts America into the fast lane towards illiberal democracy.
I'm not going to say that, you know, the GOP are Nazis at this point or whatever, but it certainly sounds very familiar.
We will wake up the morning after Election Day. We might not even call it that anymore in 2 years.
Yeah, we'll just call it coup day. Coup day, because they coup d'etat. That's a clip of several Democrat MSNBC and some CNN and other, I think, all thrown in there. This was a compilation of a tape put together by the Newsbusters media editor. The message and montage of the liberal journal's attempts, and I think journal is shorthand for journalist, which they're not, attempts to freak out viewers before the midterms. I got this only because my boots on the ground in Chicago, Andrew, saw it and said, yeah, I got to see this. I said, you're right. That's pretty good. You were hearing all these different voices. One of them was Nicole Wallace, of course. You heard her. She opened it up, said, we may not call it Election Day anymore. And then one of them was, who was the other one? Oh, an NBC News historian warning we could lose our democracy on Election Day if the GOP wins big. Damn it. Stop it right there. You lose the election, and if it's done fairly, which I know they're claiming it won't be if they lose, and everything's pointing to the fact they're going to lose, the House for sure, and more than likely at least 2 seats in the Senate minimum, so they will not have control of those 2 houses of Congress. If you thought Biden was a lame duck already, he will really be a lame duck. Then he won't be able to get anything through. But they want you to believe You need to be frightened because this is coming down. It's going to happen almost, well, here we are at midterm. And once again, let's go back to MSNBC and the remarks from Nicole Wallace.
I'm not going to say that, you know, the GOP are Nazis at this point or whatever, but it certainly sounds very familiar.
We will wake up the morning after Election Day. We might not even call it that anymore in 2 years.
The future is not Republican Party, so they have to cheat.
Do you think it's time to ask for friends and allies to come over and help us monitor our elections?
Do you think it requires, you know, a democracy commission?
You know what democracy commissions are established for third world nations. Jimmy Carter, former president, has often served on those. And I, again, despite the fact that he was a bad president, not as bad as Biden, the man has a heart and a faith that we all should admire. I mean, when he left office, he went to Habitat for Humanity, started building homes. He wasn't out there just for a photo op. He's actually building them. And he served on these commissions to go into countries and make sure the elections were fair. That's when everybody thought our elections were fair. Maybe so, maybe not. But again, you listen to MSNBC and all these, you're hearing over and over the Democrats are claiming, watch out.
Millions of Americans are scared.
A lot of Americans are right to be scared tonight.
Why shouldn't we be scared?
Democracy is on the knife's edge.
Mr. President, I'll be honest. I'm scared.
Oh, my God. That last remark came from Jonathan Capehart. Remember, he did that interview with Biden, kind of walked around and said, how are you going to convince my Aunt Agnes that as old as you are, you're still capable? And he said, well, knock on the head, wood or whatever. Yeah, I'm still here, and you judge me by my pace and what I'm doing. Threw him every softball question you can imagine. Probably gave him some ice cream after the interview as well. But here he is saying, Mr. President, I'm scared. I don't know how many times we can go down this road again and try to tell these people, if you lose, you lose. And I'd say it to Republicans, if we lose it, of course, we all will question the debate, I mean, the vote and so forth. I'm not still convinced that everything was on the up and up the last time around, but it's gone. It's in the past. And we do need to watch and go forward. What happens in this election? And we pointed out in the last hour that in Pennsylvania, they just, whoops, sent out 250,000 ballots going to people that had not been verified they could vote. A little mistake in a Democrat state like that. It's a mistake. Right. All right, I want to change gears coming up with my next guest because she has information on how trans groups are searching transgender teens and saying you need some money and you need transportation to get somewhere where you can get puberty blocking drugs and even surgery, we will help you. Oh no, we're not going to pass that story up.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Some car dealers might try to take advantage of you. One quick way to spot it, look at the sticker price. Jay Ackerman told me, especially in these times, he wants to reward the generations of buyers and the new customers. So Ackerman Toyota sells every car at sticker price. No markup. What you see is what you pay. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This ain't no place for no hero. This ain't no place for no middle man. This ain't no place for no hero to call home. This ain't no place for no.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. In the U.S., only a handful of states restrict gender-related procedures for children. Only a handful. And Joe Biden, our president, promoting transgender procedures through Health and Human Services guidelines, calling cross-sex treatments, and I quote him, life-saving. No, they're not necessarily life-saving. And in fact, I just saw a story today that a mother had said that my son, who was transitioning to a woman, hung him or herself, could not go through with it, and was confused then what to do. My next guest is a member of the Independent Women's Network, author, mother herself, and a piece she wrote for The Federalist certainly drew my eye, Stephanie Lundquist Arora. Glad to have you on board, Stephanie.
Hi, Larry. Thanks a lot for having me today.
Well, you were, the headline itself said, trans activists are offering gender-confused minors cash and Uber rides to get them away from home. And while it stops there, we all see the next line coming to help them undergo possibly puberty blockers or even chopping off breasts or anatomy parts therefore.
Yes, California just passed Senate Bill 107, which says you don't even need the consent of your parents to go through this surgery. So not only is it available to minors, but if you somehow find yourself in California and you don't have the consent of your parents for permanent mutilation, you can go get it there. You don't need their consent. They can't smoke or drink or have body piercings or tattoos, but they can go to California and permanently alter themselves. And Pride Liberation Project in Virginia apparently is offering money, so I'm not sure what they intend to do with that money, but they can find themselves in California.
And you point out in your article that the Pride Liberation Project in Virginia is organizing resources to help these minors whose parents are not supportive of this gender change, help them basically run away from home with a queer-friendly adult. And you add, there's a potential for predatory behavior that's extremely alarming.
Absolutely. I mean, it's really insane because if somebody lived in an abusive home, that's what social services is for. It's a regulated thing where if somebody is actually under abuse, then of course somebody should step in and help them. But that's not what they're talking about. They're just talking about if your parents don't affirm your identity. And then assisting runaways is contributing to the delinquency of a minor, as far as I knew.
Right.
That's how I understand it. But setting up an entire network in this case sounds like human trafficking.
I agree fully with that because we've got human trafficking across our border daily. And I don't know how many times I've mentioned to my audience that I'm afraid in the years to come, we will hear horrific stories of young girls and our boys that were brought into the country strictly to be put into a sex den and used until they were no longer of any use. And maybe they escaped with their lives, but what was left of it?
It's really so sad. When I think about what's happening in terms of this gender ideology push, there's three categories of people that I think of. Like, I actually think of an inverted triangle. Like, who would push this in schools on kids? Like, just to give you an example, three surveys in the first week of middle school went out saying, what gender are you? What gender are you? And I was like, who would push this? But
right.
I think of an inverted triangle. Like, the top part, like, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, right? It's people who are willing to violate constitutional rights and compel speech, like, with pronouns and stuff, because they want everyone to feel good and be part of this welcoming, inclusive environment, and they feel a certain way. The second group, I think, is a smaller group. They want to grow the community. It's more nefarious. They want to grow the community for political power. They want to indoctrinate for the future with these surveys that push certain things. But then there's, at the bottom of the triangle, I think there's fewer. And this is the scary, it's all scary, but the scary part is the bottom tip of that triangle where sexual predators like children, especially confused children. And so are we really going to allow this as a society? Are we really going to support this idea, children running away? We've got adult leaders at Pride Liberation Project pushing this. It's a really confusing time.
Oh, I agree. And where did we suddenly decide it's okay to agree to a girl and say, you want to chop your breast off? Okay. And the consultation is maybe 15, 20 minutes, if that. And start the drugs, then pretty soon we do that. And one of the more celebrated cases, Chloe, I believe is what she goes by, talks about she is getting no help now from the transgender community because she regrets her decision, so they don't want to hear from her. And she has already chopped off her breast. She is supposedly a boy now, but she can't go back. She's wondering if I can possibly still have kids. Not sure if she can. And she said the transgender community has walked away from me. No, so much for support.
Larry, you bring up such a great point. And the Independent Women's Network has a new series. It's called Identity Crisis, and it's all about these detransitioners. And they're very, very brave to speak out because they say consistently they were in an echo chamber where they were being affirmed and they felt really good about having a supportive community. And actually, there's one in particular, same idea as what you just said. A lot of these have consistent themes. There's one very, very brave woman. Her name is Kat. She's a semi-professional singer. She started taking hormones. She had what they like to call top surgery to make it sound more innocuous, but it's actually mutilation. But anyways, so she had this surgery. She regretted it. She had testosterone. She lost her singing voice on testosterone, and I think she might have been given the testosterone on a phone consultation. But anyways, somebody asked her afterwards, after she detransitioned, I'm not sure that she had the double mastectomy. She might not have been the one. But anyways, somebody asked her after the testosterone, what are your pronouns now? And she said, I'm not playing that game anymore.
Yeah.
Like, and it's consistently these young women were confused and they did things which were permanent and they regretted it. And there's a whole series about it. And there are a lot of them. And the mainstream media ignores it. Because we're all marching to the beat of this very strange drum.
We're not all marching. You're right. We're not all marching, but they would lead us down that path. And again, praise to the Independent Women's Network for making that available. I want to get back to that in a moment. But contrast where we are with England. I pointed this out yesterday, and I want to go back over it. Their National Health Service has banned puberty blockers for minors outside strict clinical trials. Advised against social transitions. They are arguing what they're doing is simply going through a phase which they will outgrow, and they say that we're moving away from the model of automatically affirming a child's transgender identity because most of them, by the time they reach adulthood, they change. But in this country, we decide, oh, no, the child knows best. They do not know what they want for dinner.
And with the social contagion element, they're so confused. I mean, what 12 and 13-year-old isn't kind of going through an identity crisis?
Yeah.
So it's really unfortunate that we are doing this as a society. And I say we because, Larry, I live in Fairfax County, and it is like the upside-down world here.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen Stranger Things, but it is a very strange place.
Well, and again, as you said, if too many around them are confirming, it goes back to some of the basic things. All of us as adolescents had uncertainties and unsure, you know, how to date, how do you kiss, I want to smoke. The other cool kids are, you know, smoking. I mean, it's all kind of being with the crowd, and it just kind of became popular. Not just to be lesbian, that's one issue, but to go to the next step and say, well, I'm not comfortable in my body. What teenager normally is comfortable in their body?
I don't think I've met one yet.
and you have kids. I don't know how old yours are, but you've been there.
You know, Larry, the other crazy thing that's happening is I think for political purposes, you have the adult leadership crafting messages for these children where I've seen the media crafting that they're doing behind the scenes. I had access to a lot of these files from these meetings, and they're consistently saying, okay, teenagers, middle schoolers, high schoolers, this is what you're going to say. We're queer and we don't feel seen. And they define queer as kind of anything, that anything is like trans, lesbian, gay, different, queer.
Right.
We're queer and we don't feel seen. 50% of us are depressed. They keep citing that number. And also that they have higher levels of suicide rates. And then, which I believe I do believe that transgenderism is a real thing, so I'm not trying to undercut that here, but I think this message is being prostituted completely. But then they tell these children to say, if you don't affirm us, we might hurt or kill ourselves. Or if you don't do what we want, if you don't change the family life education curriculum to include a transgender transitioning unit, which is actually a real thing in Fairfax County, fourth grade,
we'll kill ourselves. And you're right. Many of them are going to do it anyway because they're confused. But very quickly, in the 15 seconds again, the Independent Women's Network and what they're providing, and less than 15 now.
Yes, IWNetwork.com has an identity crisis series and just a lot of information on this that's just really helpful. IWNetwork.com.
IWNetwork.com. Stephanie Lundquist Arora, I thank you for your time and enlightenment, and it's shameful and frightening. Stand by for President Biden saying you just need one more booster shot.
can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Guess you better slow up that Mustang down.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Virtually every COVID death in America is preventable. Virtually everyone. Almost everyone who will die from COVID this year will not be up to date on their shots, or they will not have taken Paxlovid when they got sick.
See, there's your warning. Virtually everyone's going to die if you're not up on all your shots. That includes your boosters. He said that as he gets another booster, and saying if you're fully vaccinated, get one more COVID shot. Once a year, that's it. And then he got his fifth coronavirus shot live on camera, even though he did contract and recover from the virus back in July. And as we told you yesterday, Pfizer finally admitted, yeah, we knew it would not prevent transmission. That was the whole idea of the vaccine. You were wearing the mask so you would prevent transmission. You were getting the shot so you wouldn't have to wear the mask because the vaccine was going to prevent transmission. Now, again, you're going to have to make a decision for you and your family. You might have health issues that need special attention and concern. I'm not telling you don't get a vax or not keep your children from doing it. That's not for me to say. That's between you and your family and what you think you want to do or don't want to do. And it is correct. If you make the wrong decision, it might harm you or your family. One way or the other, getting the shot could lead to some harm. Lining of the heart for young men in particular. And they're saying these are now approved all the way down to 5-6 months. I've absolutely lost track of how far down it is. I do know this. That's as low as they go as 5 or 6 months, and that they're willing to let pregnant women get it when they tell them don't take drugs, don't smoke, don't drink. It might harm your baby, but they're allowed to get this shot as if it's not going to harm the unborn baby that's obviously less than 5 months old. Get information that you trust from someone you do trust. So yesterday, or actually, yeah, it was yesterday evening. It's a 7-year-old boy in his home in Chicago. He's in the bathroom. Shots are fired outside the house, several shots. The police arrive, they find several shell casings. Must have been a gang fight breakout. But one of those shots went into the house through the window of the boy's bathroom, killing the boy. He survived long enough to get to the hospital, but then died overnight. 7 years old, in his own home. In Chicago, they've had a 37% increase in violent crime since 2021. 37% increase. And they would tell you, all these leftists would say, get rid of the guns. Well, they'll say get rid of the illegal guns. That I'm for. Illegal guns are folks that should not have them. If they have had the numbers filed off, if they're felons, if they're going to be using them for crimes, yeah, they should not have them. But they want to use that as a catch-all for all Second Amendment rights and law-abiding citizens. Several major companies have left the Windy City. Tyson Foods announcing its departure back in Chicago. And last September, McDonald's CEO said, we have had violent crime happening in our restaurants. We're seeing homeless issues in our restaurants, drug overdoses in our restaurants. So they're not too happy the way things are going for them either. And one man shot to death outside a bus station where he worked. That's where he went to go to work, and he was shot. So Mayor Lori Lightfoot has been getting a lot of heat for this, obviously. Now, I know she cannot stop each and every person out there, but you have to ask, are they doing everything they can? They may talk the talk, but I don't see them talking and walking the walk at the same time. But then you get this absolutely tone-deaf response from Mayor Lori Lightfoot, which I'm going to share here in just a moment. And when you hear it, this is one of those times where I warn you that if you're listening to me while you're driving, maybe you need to slow down, pull off the side of the road for a moment, because I do not want you losing control of the car and causing an additional tragedy. This 7-year-old boy shot to death in his own home by a stray bullet coming through the window is just one of several such instances. And, of course, as I said, violent crime is up 37% in her city. And Mayor Lori Lightfoot, who already makes $209,915, she's voting to put a proposal up that she can increase her salary. Is she going to donate to those who need funerals for their children? All right, now you can get back on the road. Absolutely tone deaf. And they... not everybody in Chicago voted for her, and a lot of them want to get her out now. By God, you need to do something. As always, I appreciate you listening. Spread the word. Let others know that we're on the air, please. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.